That's 239-348-4725.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Life, the show that explores living a more joyful, more abundant life through the gift of Pope St. John Paul the Great's Theology of the Body. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the Love Challenge. In today's Gospel reading, Jesus challenges us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So today we thought we'd examine that challenge to love both ourselves and others, and what it means to do that exactly, and how to overcome the obstacles we encounter when we are trying to be loving, either to ourselves or our neighbors.
I think this is, you know, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. To make this the big commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you've got it covered. He knew he was condensing, you know, thousands of years of God's teaching into some simple words that are not very simple to live out. He wasn't saying, oh, it's just that simple. It's just that easy. Just go do that. He knew that this encompassed everything and that he was really handing us a tremendous challenge to live up to. It is difficult to love even our closest neighbors, the people we share our home with, the people we share our day-to-day lives with, never mind folks that we don't get a chance to spend enough time with every day and work things out with. This is a giant challenge in the midst of everyday life where we're worried about ourselves and we're worried about the things we have to get done. And suddenly, you know, people, and we have to live with them too. And not just live with them, but to be who God wants us to be, we have to learn to love them, to treat them as God would have us treat them. And that is so much easier said than done.
Well, for sure. And I guess what complicates things, of course, is that there are so many different understandings of what it means to love somebody. You know, does loving someone mean putting up with every silly thing they do? Does it mean not imposing limits or boundaries or even consequences if people are engaging in offensive or irritating or obnoxious behaviors? Does it mean to just let ourselves off the hook? You know, when we hurt somebody else, what does it really mean to be loving? Well, that's where the theology of the body comes in particularly handy, I think, because the theology of the body is all about living out God's idea of what it means to be loving in the world. And in particular, Pope St. John Paul the Great's insight on this, I think, was cut through a lot of nonsense and really helps shine a spotlight on the essence of what it is to be a loving person, both toward ourselves and others. He said that to love someone is, of course, to work for their good, to help them become more of a person, to be help them to develop into the fullest person they can be. And the opposite of loving someone is not hating them, it's actually using them. Because when we allow ourselves to be used, or we use other people, we turn them into things. We treat them like tools or objects, things that we can use or employ to accomplish an end. We don't see them as a person to be built up, to be affirmed, to be strengthened, to be developed or bettered in some way, or supported or affirmed in some way. We see them as a means to an end, a project, a tool that we can use to accomplish a goal. And when we do that, we thingify a person.
I love that word. Thingify yeah. them. And it's a great word. It really means, you know, I often think of very much the Beauty and the Beast story, you know, where the Beast could not love well, and everything around him, all the people around him that were there to love and serve him, were then turned into objects. And it's such a correlation where we may not see that person in our life as a candelabra or a clock or a footstool, but we treat them that way.
Well, you know what? I never made that connection. But,
yeah.
But that really just shifted some things for me. That I really like that.
You can find Theology of the Body everywhere.
Well, that's
Greg.
True. Yeah, and
you really can.
And I think that's a really interesting insight. You're absolutely right. You know, we may not think that we treat the people around us as objects, but you know, when we really look at the way we engage with others, or even for that matter, allow other people to engage with us, you know, do we see ourselves, you know, becoming a tool or a piece of furniture or something that ends up being used to some other purpose instead of just being affirmed for who we really are? Well, that's what we're talking about throughout the course of the program. And so the challenge to love both ourselves and others. And we're asking you to join in the conversation. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. In particular, we've got two questions for you. First of all, we'd like you to think of a person in your life that you find difficult to love for whatever reason. What makes it so hard to be loving to them? What's the challenge of loving that person that's hard to love in your life? Let's talk about how to break through those barriers and enable you to love them the way the Theology of the Body talks about it, to find ways to work for their good and to help them in whatever ways God will allow you to enable them to become the people that God created them to be. The second question, we all sometimes struggle to love ourselves. Everybody does. So when do you find it difficult to love yourself? 877-573-7825. What makes it hard to love that person or those people in your life that you find difficult to love? What makes it hard to love yourself? Feel free to answer one or both of those questions as we reflect on the love challenge today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. You can also post your comments or questions at facebook.com/More2Life Radio. That's with the number 2, More 2, the number 2, Life, at Facebook. So you can, and when you respond either at Facebook or by calling in at 877-573-7825, we will add your name to our Book of the Week giveaway drawing that's going to happen tomorrow on the program. This week we're giving away a copy of Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. It's actually a book all about this topic today. It's all about learning to love ourselves as God loves us and seeing our deepest and even darkest desires, those parts of ourselves that we love to hate the most, as revealing God's plan for our ultimate fulfillment. Find out how to do that by checking out Broken Gods. You can win it tomorrow on the program. All you got to do is call today in response to our questions of the day. Number one, think of a person in your life you find hard to love. What makes it so hard to love them? Or we all struggle to love ourselves sometimes. What do you find difficult to love about yourself? Or when do you find it hard to be loving toward yourself? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your questions and sharing with you a little bit more about the love challenge today on More to Life. In the name of the Father,
and the
Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for your abundant love. We thank you for pouring yourself out out in love for all of us, so that you might become one of us and walk with us and be with us and laugh with us and suffer with us as well, so that you could show us the way to the Father. Your love for us shows us how to love God and to love each other. And we ask you, Lord, for the grace and the wisdom and the courage to love as you love us. Help us to work for the good of ourselves, to work for the good of the others in our life, to build each other up, to affirm each other, to help each other become everything that we were created to be, and to never give in to the temptation to use someone else as a means to an end, or allow ourselves to be used as an object or a means to an end by others. And in those times when we are tempted to either use others or allow ourselves to be used, help us to find the courage to respond charitably and to find our way back to true love, so that we might be able to create a genuinely loving, peaceful, grace-filled civilization of love. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the love challenge in today's gospel. Jesus challenges us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But I got to tell you know, as a counselor, I see a lot of folks struggling with both ends of that equation. So today we're examining the challenge to love both our neighbors and ourselves, and what it means exactly to do that. 877-573-7825. We're asking you to call in and tell us, either if you think about that person or those people who are hardest to love in your life, what makes it hard to love them? Let's talk about removing some of those obstacles. Or if you're having a hard time loving yourself, as we all do at some point or another, when do you find it difficult to love yourself? 877-573-7825.
Well, as you said, Greg, those of us at Pastoral Solutions Institute have a very special insight into how really complicated and painful this command to us can become in our lives, living out loving our neighbors as ourselves. Loving our neighbors and ourselves is very difficult, but I don't think there's a one of us who's connected to any kind of social media that can't see that this is becoming a tougher and tougher struggle every single day as we look at any comments page anywhere and see the lack of love is just becoming epidemic. The lack of caring for ourselves well is becoming epidemic. We're seeing people exhausted all the time, feeling depressed or anxious all the time. But certainly just looking at a comments page, you see our ability to love our neighbors is dwindling at a speed that I never predicted, because we're just not even being kind, never mind being loving most of the time.
Well, I mean, actually, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because, you know, in the last week I've seen research that talks about how cyberbullying is just going through the roof. That actually, bullying at the workplace, there was a new study that just talked about how bullying at the workplace is at epidemic levels as well.
This is adults here, so how can we not see it trickle down to the kids?
So maybe you are on the receiving end of some of that poor treatment by others, and you're not sure how to respond effectively when others are not responding to you in loving ways. Or, for that matter, you just are finding it hard to love that other person in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's take our first question, Lisa.
Maria had a very interesting comment that I think a lot of people do go through. She said, "I love my 17-year-old son with all my heart. But in the last few months, he's gotten surly and condescending whenever he talks to anyone in the family. I think he's stressed about getting into college and moving out of the house after his senior year, but he's getting really irritating to live with. My friend joked that God makes kids obnoxious when they get this age so that their parents are less upset when they move out. But I hate that idea. I don't want to part on bad terms, with both of us just being relieved to get rid of the other. I don't want the next year to be miserable. We've talked to him about his attitude till we're blue in the face, with very little change on his part. Is there anything we can do?" And that comment's from Maria.
Maria, thank you so much for your comment. And I got to tell you, you know, I understand the intention behind the joke. And, you know, we can politely chuckle about it because there's a truth in it. But the idea that, you know, God makes teenagers so obnoxious so that we don't mind when they leave, you know, it does make me sad, too. You know, because even though conventional wisdom says that adolescents should be awful or are supposed to be awful and hate their parents, and it doesn't have to be that way. You know, it really doesn't.
And for generations and generations, it was not that way.
That's actually true, yes.
We really didn't have this advent of the obnoxious teenager until, like, the late 50s and 60s.
Well, actually, it was after World War II. The first time the word teenager was used was actually after World War II.
And as I said, late, like, the 1950s, it sort of... teenagehood and that rebellious attitude was the first time it was ever really looked at that way.
And so, you know, there are ways, I think you are intuiting, Maria, that there are ways that you can improve the relationship. And you know what? Is there going to be some tension with kids who are launching, either going to college or launching, into life as they get a little bit older? Well, of course there's going to be. But there doesn't have to be this kind of surly, antagonistic, disrespectful exchange between you and your son. So let me propose a way forward with this, okay? You know, when this happens, we're usually caught off guard by it, and we tend to respond in a kind of guerrilla warfare sort of way. You know?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean that?
That
we go along thinking, well, my kids are going to be respectful to me. They're going to speak to me politely. You know, I just assume that they're going to be nice. And then all of a sudden they aren't, and I'm surprised, and I respond to it, and I yell about it, or I criticize, or I punish, or give a consequence, or whatever, and I handle it in the moment, and then I think, well, that's taken care of, and I go back to assuming that everything's fine, you know. When you have a dynamic, though, like what Maria is describing, what you have to be aware of is that this is becoming more of a pattern, more of a habit, and you have to treat it as such by anticipating the problem. So step one is don't wait for it to happen, okay? Pull your son aside when you're actually getting along with each other, when you're having one of those moments where things are just going a little bit better. It could be a neutral time, it could be a good time, but it's a time when you're not actually in the moment where he's being disrespectful.
And it's really important, I think, to underline that, because when there's that moment of disrespect, definitely mom and dad's emotional temperature is going to be too high to really be able to keep control of the conversation and come off well. And probably your teenager's emotional temperature is too high, because he wouldn't be acting that way if it wasn't. Because I think that Maria's got a real handle here, that there's really something that is irritating him or frightening him enough that he's behaving this way. So if you do it in that moment when he's being disrespectful, it's going to fall apart. You have to wait for that neutral or positive time, as you're saying.
That's right. So in that time when you kind of pull him aside and things are going a little bit better, say, hey, listen, you know, I know that you're going through a lot right now with worrying about college and this and that, and I'm not sure what exactly it all is. We can talk about that. But I've noticed that because you seem a little more stressed out, you're being more disrespectful, you're being kind of insensitive, you're being a little bit nasty around the edges, and it's really hurting my feelings. You know, it's okay for parents to say that. You know, sometimes we lean so heavily on our authority that we forget to be human beings with our kids. And it's okay to just be honest and say, listen, I love you, and I would like I would like to be able to enjoy being around you more than I have been lately, but you've been hurting my feelings when you're treating me this way. What's going on? You know, and what can we do about it, right? So you pull him aside, you talk to him about it that way, first of all. If there's something, you know, if he needs to talk out something, great, that's fine. But don't let the larger point be lost, which is that whatever he's dealing with, he can't talk to you that way, right? And you can say that to him. Listen, whatever you're going through right now, I'm here for you, and I would love to talk it out with you, or give you your space if you need it, but either way, I need you to be more mindful of treating me with respect. And speaking to me politely. And, you know, just put him on notice there. And say, when it happens, I'm sure you don't even notice it. When it happens, I'm going to try to gently point it out to you. Would that, you know, do you understand? Right? Don't ask him permission, but just, would you understand? So you say that first. And you get his kind of buy-in with that, right? Then the next step, step two, is when it actually happens. Because just talking to him about it isn't going to fix it. It's going to set the stage, but it's not going to do it all. He's going to need reminders in the moment. When he does it, say, hey, wait a minute. This is one of those times I was talking about. I think you're letting your stress get to you and cause you to treat me with, you know, some real disrespect right now. Could you say that again in a way that isn't hurtful or in a way that isn't disrespectful, in a way that is more considerate or polite? Give him a chance to say it over in the moment. Don't yell at him. You know, approach him in that more thoughtful, helpful, loving way, but make him do it over again. And the point is, you're helping him become more sensitized to the fact that he's doing it and more aware of the times when he does it, and you're helping him develop the skills that he needs to feel stressed out, but still find a way to be respectful and polite to those around him. And I know 40-year-olds who don't know how to do that.
That's true.
Okay? So you're doing him a real service by teaching him how to be loving even though he's stressed. You're not asking him to deny it. You can say, look, it seems like you may be a little bit stressed right now, and I'm happy to talk about it, but you can't talk to me that way. Could you please say that over again in a way that's not so hurtful? Right? So you're giving the door, you're leaving the door open for possibly addressing whatever bigger issues are driving this, or not, but you're definitely saying, please do this over again in a more respectful way. The do-over technique works with people of all ages, not just little kids. It works with your 17-year-old. We do it with each other as husband and wife sometimes, okay? And it's not at all it's not at all disrespectful to ask someone to do that. It's not at all demeaning. You're just saying, hey, look, I want to hear what you have to say. I just can't do it this way, though. Could you please say it again? It's a really important life lesson, and I think you're going to really help him be more loving to you. And it's a more loving way to deal with what he's putting you through right now. Maria, if there's more that we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to call us again. We have additional tips in the teenage chapter in Parenting with Grace. Check that out. But I think that this two-step process we described for you will take care of it. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about the love challenge. In today's gospel, Jesus challenges us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So today we're looking at that challenge to love both our neighbors and ourselves, and what exactly doing that involves. Give us a call. Is there someone in your life you find hard to love? What makes it so tough? Let's talk about removing some of those obstacles so that you can be the loving person God wants you to be. Or, for that matter, if you're having a hard time loving yourself, let's talk through ways that you can let God's grace break through those barriers and start helping you feel the love He has in His heart for you. Either way, give us a call at 877-573-7825 or post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. And we'll be back with you and Damon Owens, Theology of the Body speaker and expert, talking about love when we come back after these messages.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pulled on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back from Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting On the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEO in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting On the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. When Jesus says in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," He is blessing those of us who are coherent and consistent and committed in our faith from the inside out. The commitment we have in our hearts is readily observable in our behavior. No duplicity, no hypocrisy. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says there are those who have attuned their intellects and wills to the demands of God's holiness and are pure in heart, body, and faith. No compromises, no straddling the fence. No being someone in church and someone entirely different in the world.
Purity of heart is a precondition for the vision of God. Purity of heart calls us to full integration of God's kingdom in our whole lives. Are you sold out for the Lord?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today, the love challenge in the gospel. Jesus challenges us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So today, we're examining that challenge to love both our neighbors and ourselves, and what exactly that means. You know, what does that require of us? We're asking you to join the conversation by sharing either about a person that you find hard to love, and let's talk through some of the obstacles or how to overcome the obstacles that make it difficult to love that person. We are also asking you to tell us a little bit about those times when it's hard for you to love yourself, and how we can let God's grace break through those barriers so that you can experience the love that God has in his heart for you. Either way, give us a call at 877-573-7825 or post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. Joining us right now, Damon Owens is a very popular Theology of the Body speaker and expert, and he's here today to join us to talk about why this call to love is so important. Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Oh, thank you, Greg, Lisa. It's always a joy to be with you and to talk about love.
Well, so let's talk about this. I mean, we hear this all the time. You know, it's so important to love. The call of the Christian life is to love. And, you know, Jesus says, love your neighbors as you love yourself. Love, 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 love. Why is this so important, though? Why does this matter?
You know, I actually love the way that you say that because, you know, many times there are things in our faith that, you know, we hear so often we really don't listen to. And there's so many things that people who aren't familiar with our lexicon and they hear and they don't understand the depth of what we're getting to. There's always a process. There's always stages. And I think when we read the Gospels, when we pray, when we first hear the faith, the kerygma, even as we grow in it, at every stage, there's a moment we have to approach this always seeking to move through those stages. So as an example, you know, there are those who honestly just don't want to love and they reject the idea of love as being something central to their own life. It's insane, I know, but there are people that reject it, and they choose to act out of selfishness and personal pleasure. And then sort of the next level of, you know, folks who are, they know the law, they know they're supposed to love, and they try to follow it, but they just fail, and they try again, and they fail, and they, you know, back and forth, but not really an integrated approach to it. And I see the next level of folks that are integrated in the sense they know this is the joy. They know they want love, and they know they need to work for it, but they do it out of a duty. I don't feel like it. I don't desire. Everything's a struggle. It's like that beginning of a diet, and I can't have any carbs, you know. And I do it because I'm supposed to do it. And there's a duty, and there's a goodness to this. And you can call that a confident person who follows it, love as a law. And then that next highest level is really what we call a virtue. And the virtuous is not only do we know the law, not only do we love the law of love, but it flows out of us, and it's part of our habit, a firm habit to do this good. And in a real sense, we love out of love. We have a thirst for people, a thirst for God. And I think we need to check first ourselves, where are we in this spiritual formation, to be honest about how we grow in love, because we can't go from vicious to virtuous. You know, that's a huge step. And we need to recognize that if we're doing something out of duty, then it's not so much rejecting love as much as learning and asking God for that grace you spoke about earlier to make that desire and acts of love not just white-knuckle duty, but it's really something that flows out of our heart. So I connect living love in the gospel with this instant and this interactive back and forth with our Lord to help us move through these stages to make it part of our own heart.
Well, what I really like about what you're sharing here is that it takes the focus off of maybe action so much and focuses more on being. You know, I guess what I mean is I run into this a lot when I'm talking with people that, you know, they'll say, especially, for example, in marriage counseling, well, I'm doing the right thing. You know, my wife asked me to do this, and I did it, so, you know.
You sound like
for instance, right? You know, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I hear this from women, too. You know, I'm picking on the men. But you know, it's not enough. You know, it's a step. It's a step in the right direction to say, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll do this thing because you asked me to do it. Whatever. You know, I mean, and you're doing it like you said. There's a continence there. I'm controlling my desire to not do that thing, and I'm doing it because I recognize it's the law. It's a good thing. But it's not the end point. I have to kind of challenge myself to go beyond that and to be more loving, not just do the loving thing because I have to.
Exactly, and I think here's the fruit of that, why we do that. It's joy. And it's a joy of that is the real fruit of love. And if we're willing the good of others, if we're working the good of others, not just wishing it and praying for it, which are good, but if we're willing and we're putting our actions toward the good of others and there's no joy in it, then our prayer is not that, you know, we find something else to do. It's that, Lord, you know, convert my heart so that this is not just an act for my checkbox, but really is willing the good of the other. And we know it by its fruit, which is joy. So I think the whole point of what everyone is looking for is joy. And the gospel, the good news is that God has come to complete our joy. And we move through these stages to get to the point where the completion of joy is the fruit of love that's done as an overflow of what God has given us.
Well, and of course, I think, you know, all your comments point really to the heart of Pope Francis' ministry and the
Amen.
Of Amoris Laetitia, the joy of love. You know, that over and over again he talks about how, you know, Christians aren't called to be grim sourpusses who are focused on the rules and crossing our T's and dotting our I's. I mean, the rules are important. It's not that. It's that, but they protect those rules and boundaries. They protect a deeper truth, and that deeper truth is the call to love and the joy that results from responding positively to that call.
That's the truth. Thank you for bringing up Pope Francis, because that's really where I am in my spiritual journey, where all this beautiful teaching of my beloved St. John Paul II and the brilliant St. Pope Benedict and now Pope Francis is really moving more toward really living that the law is made for man. Man is not made for the law. And that the joy of love, in his encyclical there, his exhortation rather, is really helping us to focus not so much on the law, certainly not ignoring it. He does a beautiful job of unpacking the law and the doctrine, but says, and hold on, we're dealing with people. And it's in and through personal encounter. Now we're back to TOB. Here we are in personal human encounter that we come to know God as Jesus Christ who comes to know us, and here we come to know others as unique, mysterious human persons. So the love the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself in our readings today, really is exactly where Pope Francis, in a very sensual way, how we see, smell, hear, taste, touch other people, is how we live out a true theology of the body.
Amen. And I think that, you know, even though people are messy and relationships are hard and the world is broken, the message, I think, of Pope Francis again and again is if we embrace that call to love, it is God's love that calls order out of the chaos. And we can't be afraid to engage in that culture of encounter so that God's love can bring about the new creation that he wants for each of us. If folks would like to learn more about your ministry, where can they turn for more information?
I'd love to hear from folks. You can reach me at damon@damonowens.com. I'm on the cusp of announcing a new ministry of Theology of the Body and this joy. But right now, always reach me at damon@damonowens.com.
Damonowens.com. Damon, thank you so much for being with us today, sir. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. My joy.
All right, folks, we will continue talking with you about the love challenge. You know, in the gospel today, Jesus challenges us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And today, we're examining that challenge to love both our neighbors and ourselves and what it means to do that. Is there someone in your life that you're having a hard time being loving toward? What makes them so hard to love? Give us a call. We'll help you remove those obstacles. Or, for that matter, if you're having a hard time loving yourself for some reason, let's talk about taking the first steps toward that today. 877-573-7825 or post your comments at facebook.com/moretoliferadio. And we'll be back with more to life right after this.
The Church's teaching on the theology of the body is needed now more than ever, and the International Theology of the Body Congress will show you how TOB can solve the challenges facing families today. Join Al Cresta, the Theology of the Body Institute, Catholic leaders, experts, and enthusiasts for love, mercy, and the gift of the family, September 23rd through the 25th at the Ontario Convention Center in Southern California. Find out more at tobcongress.com. Early bird registration ends July 31st, so register today at tobcongress.com.
Men, women, marriage, what's the point? Join Father John Ricardo as he walks us through God's plan for a marriage, Ephesians 5, Fatherhood and the Dignity of Woman. Learn why there are two creation stories. What does it mean to be children of God? And what does Paul mean when he says, wives be subject to your husbands? All this and more is covered in Father John Ricardo's 4-CD set, What's the Point? To purchase your copy, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on What's the Point under the Store tab.
What is the significance of the anointing oil or chrism during the administration of confirmation? According to the Catholic Catechism, when a Christian is thus anointed, he is marked with a permanent spiritual seal. Anointing in biblical times was rich with symbolism. Oil is a sign of abundance and joy. It cleanses and limbers the body. It is a sign of healing. Think of it being administered to cuts and bruises. It gives radiant beauty and strength. All these features of oil are present in the sacramental life. The pre-baptismal anointing with the oil of catechumens signifies cleansing and strengthening. Anointing the sick signifies healing and comfort. In confirmation and holy orders, the post-baptismal anointing with sacred chrism denotes consecration. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly. And most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure. While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby, chances are the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby. Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. It's hard to be loving, both to others and sometimes even to ourselves. That's why today we are looking at the love challenge that Jesus laid down in today's gospel to love our neighbors as ourselves, as we look at what it actually means to be that kind of a loving person. Is there someone in your life that you are having a hard time being loving toward? Or for that matter, are there times when it's hard for you to accept that God loves you? Or to even be able to love yourself for some reason? 877-573-7825. Lisa, let's go to the phones right now.
We're talking now, Greg, with Jennifer, who's listening in San Antonio, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey there, Jennifer. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. I have only one sister, no brothers. And my sister and I, we've had a little bit of problems over the years. We're kind of opposite personalities. I'm very passive. She's a little more aggressive, I guess you would say. She's different than me. She's, deep down, she's really kind of a shy person, but she kind of puts out this persona that she's rough and tough, you know. But over the years, we've always, you know, kind of managed with each other, and we've always gotten along and had a lot of fun. But she's been through two really bad marriages. She's been hurt a lot, and I know that about her. I've been happy in my second marriage, very happy. I had a very bad marriage the first time with a really violent man that I had to get my baby away from. It was a scriptural divorce. But that was many, many years ago. I've been married now for almost 37 years, and I've been extremely happy with
Now, Jennifer, I'm glad to hear that you're out of that terrible situation, but it says on the board here that you, in particular, you're having some conflict with your sister now because she got a hold of some of your credit history. What's that about?
Here's the thing. When we were younger, we had a lot of fun and we got along, but over, I would say, the last 10 years, she's become much more bitter and negative about things. And my husband and I have had a lot of trouble with our daughters, but now they've really leveled off and they're doing much better. But it seemed like with each problem that we had with our daughters, she became more and more negative towards us. Like it was our fault.
Okay.
And she became more and more interfering.
And maybe we're talking about a different issue here, and if so, that's fine. But what does this have to do with the whole credit history issue that's on the board here? I don't understand.
And then it came down to this. We spent so much money trying to help our kids that our credit got really bad, wrecked a couple of times. Now, my husband is retired, and we're trying to develop a business. Well, she's very much against that. She's been adamant about it. She's been very vocal about it. And she's only a year and a half older than me, but she's always treated me like she has to tell me what to do. Well, lately, she just blurted out this stuff to me that specific things about our credit, like, she knows things that nobody could know unless they did a credit check.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And I was very disturbed by that.
Jennifer, can I ask you, were you asking her to invest in this new business? Did she have a reason to say, well, as a business investment, I need to check this credit history? Or was this purely just her sort of lording it over you in your life?
No, she was just lording it over me. And at the time, we were living with her and my mom, just very temporarily, because my husband, because of health reasons, had to retire early, and we had to move from...
So it's not unreasonable it's not unreasonable to think that she could have gotten a hold of maybe your Social Security number or other ways that
My mother would have had it, you know.
Your question at this point is what then?
Well, I like I said, I'm a very passive person. I don't like to fight. She's my only sister. It didn't make me mad, but it hurt me. And when she said that, I said, "Well, how would you know that?" And she got real quiet, and her eyes got really big. And I said, how would you even know that? Now, anybody else, I think, would have gotten really mad and said, oh, my gosh, what are you saying that for, you know?
Yeah.
But I just got quiet. But then later on, it started to really eat on me. And when I told my husband about it, he was very upset. I mean, it made him depressed because he had to retire early. Now we don't have a lot of money to live on, and it made him feel really, really small.
Sure, but you know what, Jennifer, here's the thing. I mean, you were right to ask that question, and clearly, you know, the response that she gave you indicated that she doesn't feel good about what she did there. And I think that even though you say that you tend to be a little passive and you don't like to fight, you know, there are times when it's important to set boundaries, even with people that we love very much. And I think that your sister could be a support to you and a good friend to you in lots of different ways. But in this area in particular, she's not. And she's really overstepped the line here. And I think that it's okay to definitely say to her, listen, sister, I love you. And I'm glad you're in my life, but I am not discussing our business or our finances with you ever again. If you bring it up, I will not respond. I will not address this with you. It's none of your business. You've really crossed a line. And I'm not going to discuss it. If you bring up our business or our finances at all, I'll either change the subject or I'll have to leave or hang up the phone or whatever. But I'm not doing this with you anymore. This is not okay to speak to me this way. It's not okay to treat me this way. It's certainly not okay to go looking up my credit history behind my back. What an intense violation of your privacy. And so, Jennifer, even though that's really hard, you know, what I would suggest to you is sitting down after this call and writing that out. You know, write it out in your own words. It's always better to do this in person. And if you have to read it to her, that's fine. If you can't bring yourself to actually do it in person, it's okay to send it as a letter or as an email. I think it would be good for you to be able to do this directly with her. But either way, it has to be done. It's important to set this boundary. She has crossed a very serious line. It's not okay for her to be looking up your credit history. Even if her intentions are good, let's be charitable and say that they might be, but it's not okay. And you need to set this boundary where you say, listen, I love you. I want you to be in my life. I've appreciated your, counsel in the past, but this time you've gone too far, and I will not be speaking about our finances or our business with you again. Enough. It's done.
And I think it really is important to say, we love each other, but it's time for us to be friends and break this dynamic of you being sort of the mother figure in my life. We're adults now. So let's wipe the slate clean. I was hurt. I'm not angry, but I was hurt. I never want to be hurt that way again. So let's treat each other with respect and as friends and break this crazy dynamic we've been living under that's made us, at odds with each other in this way.
And, if you're looking for additional language and additional support to make this happen, we do talk about how to set these kinds of boundaries with the people that we love in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Or if you're looking for someone to kind of walk you through the process, you can also learn more about our telephone counseling practice. But I think that if you could just take these first steps here and write this out and go to her directly, that's the most important thing to do. And if there's more we can do to support you beyond that, then check us out online or give us a call back here. We'd love to talk with you some more, Jennifer. Please be assured of our prayers for you and for your sister. And if there's anything else we can do, let us know. With that, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about the love challenge. Today in the gospel, Jesus challenges us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But, all of us struggle to one degree or another to do both of those things. So we're talking about what it really means to love other people, to love ourselves. What does that require of us, and how do we overcome the obstacles that we encounter as we try to do both of those things? 877-573-7825. Is there someone in your life that you find hard to love? Maybe you want to love them. Maybe you wish you could love them, but they're hard to love. Or maybe you're having a hard time loving yourself, or for that matter, appreciating what God sees in you anyway. 877-573-7825. Let's take some steps toward connecting in a deeper way with the love God desires for each of us. We'll be back with more to life and the love challenge when we come back after the break.
The Church's teaching on the theology of the body is needed now more than ever, and the International Theology of the Body Congress will show you how TOB can solve the challenges facing families today. Join Al Cresta, the Theology of the Body Institute, Catholic leaders, experts, and enthusiasts for love, mercy, and the gift of the family, September 23rd through the 25th at the Ontario Convention Center in Southern California. Find out more at tobcongress.com. Early bird registration ends July 31st, so register today at tobcongress.com.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shields, on a recent self-discovery of how anyone can subtly help those seeking help from the church.
One of the things I've found out in this era of the new evangelization is how many people are coming into our parishes during Mass, and they're curious, but they don't know what to do. And I've just been realizing that if I pray and say, Lord, lead me to the person who most needs you, it's as though God is preparing the way, and we have a place where we need to take some initiative. So I want to say to all our listeners, pray when you go to church. Don't just go to your comfortable place and sit down. Pray when you go in, Lord, if you need me, I am available to you. Show me who you want me to talk to. And if there is, God will have somebody come up to you, or you'll look at somebody's face and just say, I ought to go over and introduce myself. You know, we can do that. It's not that hard. I've gone over to people and just said, hello, my name is, and I haven't seen you before. Inevitably, no, I've never been here before, and this is what's going on in my life, and can you get me help?
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey, weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 10 a.m. on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you along with us today on More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and it's hard to love other people or sometimes to even be loving to ourselves. And yet, in today's gospel, Jesus says, love your neighbors as you love yourself. We're looking at the challenge to love today on More to Life and exploring what it really means to be loving toward ourselves and toward others. Is there somebody in your life that you find hard to love for whatever reason? Maybe you want to love them, maybe you wish you could love them, but, you know, they're a little rough around the edges there, a little hard, a little
prickly. There's just something there that's making it a challenge.
Or maybe you're struggling to love yourself or accept God's love for you. Let's take a few more steps today toward connecting with the love that God longs to give to each of us. 877-573-7825. Who's up next, Lisa?
We're talking now, Greg, with Bonita, listening in San Antonio, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi there, Bonita. Thanks for tuning in. What can we do for you today?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can indeed.
Okay, great. My question to you is love of God. And my concern is, I guess, the definition of love, you know, I read somewhere once that love was a choice. And so when you love God, my worry is, do you love God because of what he can give you and what he has done for you? Is it out of fear? Is it out of, you know, well, if I pray to him, he's going to bless me or for blessings? And so my concern is, how do you define, I guess, love of God? You know, I see how he loves us through the mm-hmm. Old Testament and the New Testament and things he does every day. But my definition of it's hard to grasp the word love.
Sure.
Know,
and Benita, let me ask, is this more of a sort of a curiosity to you, or is there a personal story behind this? You know, a personal struggle that you're wrestling with? I just want to make sure that I'm addressing the actual question here.
I guess it's a feeling that I have, because, you know, I always say, I love God, mm-hmm. you know, I love my neighbor, but what is truly love?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I do things for people. Sometimes I grumble about it because I really don't want to do it.
Because you're human?
Well, because I feel that I need to, and I constantly feel like that I need to do things for people and other things to show God that I love him. And so, you know, when you first meet your love of your life,
you have
this overwhelming feeling. Well, that overwhelming feeling goes away eventually, you know,
uh-huh,
and you meet
sure.
real life. So that's what, I guess I was looking for that with God, and I never got that. It's just that he's always been there for me.
Okay. Well, Bonita, that's a terrific question, and I there are a couple of ways to respond to that. I mean, first of all, you know, as we've been talking about through the program, the theology of the body reminds us that to love somebody, it doesn't necessarily mean having a particular feeling. I mean, sometimes love is accompanied by those feelings of passion, of attraction, of fascination. But other times it's not. It's much quieter than that. You know, sometimes it's friendship. Sometimes it's just neutral, you know. But to love somebody, and even to love God, is to work for the good of the other person. And so when you have, well, how do I work for the good of God? I mean, God does everything, right? He doesn't need me. That's all true,
we
right?
All think that,
but
yeah.
if to love God means that I'm working to build his his kingdom. I'm doing what I can to share his love with the world, to spread the gospel, to make the world more like he would like it to be, more like he intended it to be before everything fell apart with the fall, right? So what am I doing to try to share his love, to share his peace, to create connection and community and lead others to him so that he can love them better? And, you know, and like you were saying, you know, sometimes we don't feel like doing that stuff. That's what Damon was talking about in his segment today, where he said, you know, sometimes we do loving things because we respect that, you know, that's just what we have to do. And that's called being continent. It means being in control of ourselves and in control enough of ourselves that we can do the right thing, even though we kind of grumble about it. But if we keep doing that and keep practicing it, you know, then we can go to the place where that love becomes part of what our being, you know, and that love just it comes out of us more naturally. We're always going to be struggling with that. We're always going to be wrestling with those selfish parts of ourselves. But the more we do it, the more naturally it comes. And so we move out of that place where we are loving because we have to be, and we're loving just because we are. The second part of it, though, that I want to say, you know, when we're talking about love from God, you know,
for love of God, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to do, we do things because God loves us, you know. We love God and we love others because we first felt that love from God. But we don't have to prove anything to God either, right? So while it's true that faith without works is dead, works are not the only way that we demonstrate that faith or, for that matter, our love for God. Sometimes just being with God is the best way to love him and to experience his love, to make time to sit in his presence in the Blessed Sacrament.
That's truly why we have Eucharistic adoration, because he wants us just to be there, to gaze into the eyes of our lover, if you will, to just be in his presence. And I really encourage you to take advantage of Eucharistic adoration, to just quiet yourself, tell him that you love him, tell him you want to feel it more, invite the Holy Spirit more into that relationship, and tell him, I want that kind of love with you. I know he's going to honor that prayer.
So by all means, do. But also remember what Jesus told Mary and Martha, and choose the better part.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes take some time just to be with him and love him and experience his love. That's all the time we've got for today. If you'd like more help and resources living out the challenge to love in your life, check out our books and podcasts and the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. Learn more about all those resources at moretoliferadio.com or call to make an appointment to speak with a counselor at 740-266-6461. God bless. Have a great day.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
Join youth from all over the country for the 9th Annual Ave Maria University Youth Conference, July 15th through the 17th. Rising freshmen through graduating seniors will have a dynamic, fun, and faith-filled weekend. Speakers include Father Stan Fortuna, Michael Gormley, Chris Padgett, and Arlene Spensley, with music by the ANU Band. The cost is $175.